Good morning, church family. Greet you in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be with you all. It's good to worship together. Missed being here last Sunday, but it's good to be back together again. Let's sing that song, We're Standing on Holy Ground. I believe we can sing that by memory. We are standing. This morning is that we can recognize that this is holy ground, where his people gather together. It says where two or three are even gathered together in his name, he's there with them. And so as we go throughout the rest of the service, let's keep that in mind, that God is here and he wants to be honored and glorified, and it's his desire that he can bring us into unity with his will and his purposes for life. And I didn't sense to continue on anymore on angels at this point. I feel like there's still some more there that could be talked about, but I wasn't quite sure where to go with it at this point. And this message was laid on my heart. A couple weeks ago, I felt like the devil was pressuring me very hard. I felt like there was temptations coming my way, and I felt like there was a battle and a struggle going on, and there was some lies that were being that were coming my way that was going through my mind. And the thing of, well, you know, this is just a relaxation, or this is you know, it doesn't matter. It's just in your thoughts. You can allow your thoughts and your mind to go where you want it, wherever it wants to go. It doesn't need to affect your everyday life. Or, you know, you're just scrolling. You know, you can't always help what comes up when you scroll, or this or that. And I processed that, and it was a thing that, well, you know, what does it matter? I can do my duties. I can be, you know, look good. We talked about that this morning. But one of my prayers is often is that I can be a man of integrity, be a man that no matter what, if somebody looks at my life, it's complete, it's whole, it's not hidden things. And one of those things was this thing, a pursuit of godliness. And that kept going through my mind. If I'm going to be a man that is pursuing godliness, it has to be in every area of my life. I can't let my mind wander where it wants to wander. I can't let my everyday activities just simply be scattered or not intentional. And this thing of godliness kept coming to my mind. Am I going to be a man that pursues godliness? Because I feel like sometimes we as believers can sometimes say, well, we have this checklist of things that this looks right and good. But what and where is that coming out of? Godliness is a lot more than just simply the externals or the checklist. It needs to be coming out. Godliness is something that is deeper into the heart. And it really boils down to, it affects our belief system and what we believe. So this morning I titled Pursuit of Godliness. But yet, throughout this message, you're going to hear this thought of our belief system. What do we really believe? And is something that even Timothy talks about, this thing of training godliness. It's this thing of intentional living that is deeper than just simply the externals. It's simply than just simply that I can stand up here and I can preach a message, or I can talk with people. It goes deeper into what and where are things coming from in my heart? Is it coming from a heart that is given over? Is it to God? Is it a heart that is in love with God? Is it a heart that is walking with God? So there's a story I came across as I thought about this message. And this man is talking about his daughter-in-law. It says, training in godliness. Says this man says, our daughter-in-law has participated at times in triathlon competitions. The triathlon is an endurance event in which you swim a certain distance, ride your bike a certain distance, and finally, without resting, run a certain distance. It is a very demanding test of your abilities. And I can tell you, our daughter-in-law didn't just decide one day to get up and get off the sofa and tackle the triathlon. She prepared herself for it. She practiced. She spent months getting ready. She trained her body for the grueling ordeal of the triathlon. Everyone understands this. We understand that if you're in a competition, in a sport, that you prepare for it. Why do we not see that the same is required in the realm of the spiritual? In 1 Timothy 4:8, the Apostle Paul says, physical training is of some value, and it's good and necessary, as my added words there. But godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. And so that is one of my thoughts this morning, is that this thing of godliness is something that needs to be pursued. It needs to be intentional, and it needs to go beyond just simply making sure the external is right, but looking down into the heart of my belief system and where does that lie, and the thing of dealing with the things in our lives so that then the externals will flow out of a good soil and not a contaminated soil. So why godliness? Why is that something that needs to be looked at? And I think I'll say this also, that this message this morning maybe isn't necessarily a new message, but I hope it can be a refreshing message for each of our lives as we look at it. Why godliness? Is godliness a mystery that needs pursued? Is godliness an outward checklist or an inward heart change sending outward expressions? And that's what I'm trying to get at this morning, is that our inward heart is changed, sending an outward expression. Is godliness doing, speaking, looking, or acting right? And I say yes on that. Now I lost my train of thought where I was going with that. And I forgot the other question I had, where that yes is supposed to be, are we godly or becoming godly? And that's another question I had on there. Is godliness doing, speaking, looking, and acting right? That yes is not supposed to be there. The next question is, are we godly or becoming godly? And I have yes on that one. And why I don't have that other question there, I'm not sure. But I have yes on that last question is because, yes, we are instantaneously become, the Spirit of God comes in us when we are born again. But then we're also thinking of the idea of godliness is an ongoing work of God in our lives. So yes, on both, we become, His Spirit comes in us and deals with the flesh nature, the old nature. But then we also are in that continual sanctification work of becoming godly. So then this next one, John 17:20-25, I'd like us to read this together if we can. If we want to stand and read this here, I would appreciate that. John 17:20-25. Let's begin. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. All right, you may be seated. I believe this chapter, or these verses here, wrap up the essence or the purpose of this message, and that is belief and unity. And I believe God, the pursuit of godliness that God wants us to have is so that we will believe and also that we can become one with Him. There's a unity that He wants happening in our lives with Him, and that is why we pursue godliness. God is desiring for us to be one with Him and with Jesus so He is calling us to become like Him. He is calling us into godliness. He wants others to see the beauty of godliness. And I believe in these verses here, you see I have underlined belief, that it may also be one in us, that the world may believe. And then it also says, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. And I often wonder what that phrase glory means. I wonder if it isn't having part of that godly pursuit, living a life that pursues godliness. And I believe that as we pursue godliness, His glory will come onto our lives and will shine forth. People will say, there's something different. There is something beautiful. And I believe that's the pursuit of godliness. What is the mystery of godliness? 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up to glory. Believe, as I pondered this verse, there is something that stood out to me in this verse. And it was something that the Jews struggled with. The Jews struggled with actually believing that Jesus was who He said He was. I believe this verse, the thing that is so controversial about the mystery of godliness is, will we believe? You and I today, I am doing today because of what you and I believe. Think about that. Now this could be a controversial statement, but think about all that you're doing today. Somewhere in your life, you're doing it because you believe something. You either believe that you need to respect and honor your parents, or you believe that this is what's going to bring you happiness. Or you believe that this is where God's calling is on your life. Or you believe that your reputation is more important than openness and honesty. Somewhere you're doing today because of what you believe. And I believe the thing of godliness was a mystery to the Jews, because they had what they thought and believed was their approach to God and their way to God. And this Jesus was really conflicting what they were taught and what they wanted to hold on to. And the rest of that verse says who God was. And it came down to belief. To receive an understanding of godliness, our beliefs need to change first. And I believe that's very important for us. That if we are going to pursue a life of godliness, we need to be willing to let go of our man-made beliefs, our beliefs that could be rooted in lies, and accept God's word for what it is and what He is doing in our lives. And our beliefs need to be willing to come off a man-made ideology and placed onto the truth of who our Heavenly Father is and His Word if we're going to become a person of godliness. Godliness is a life of work, is a life work of hard wrestling and training with beautiful rewards and outcome. So yes, pursuing godliness, as we read in 1 Timothy 3:16, is a life of training, is a life of work, but there is reward. We all have our, especially us as men, we have our job, and we work hard there, and we put effort into it, but we do expect a reward from that. And so it is with God. He wants us to train. He wants us to follow after Him. He wants us to pursue Him. He wants us to have a heart that is taking on the belief of truth, but then there will be reward for that. Godliness is or is not. So often we look, as I started out the message was, we look at the externals and we see the externals and we believe that we are nailing it because of this and this in our lives. But we so often fail to see where or why we're doing it. In my truck, I drive a truck for a living, and I love when I can settle in my truck and know that things are working well. But if I settle every day in my truck and never look deeper into my truck's mechanics, the mechanical parts of my truck, never look over my truck, but yet I sit there each day and I'm just happy that it's driving along and humming and doing what it's supposed to do. I can sit there and check, it sounds good, it looks decent from 50 yards away, and it's great. But if I never stop and pursue and look at the wheel seals when I'm underneath it, if I never stop and look at the brake shoes, there is a lie that I'm subtly believing that everything is great and okay because I never look deeper into what is happening and what is going on. I know that's a little bit of a breakdown of example, but that came to my mind as I was thinking about, we can so often look at the externals and we think we're nailing it because of this and this, but we fail to see why we're doing what we're doing. What is causing our belief system? What is causing what we say is godliness in our lives? But why we're doing it. This verse here, I believe, wraps up very closely as we look at the thing of godliness is or is not. This verse, you keep coming back to this verse, but Matthew 23:23, what sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. So as I just bring out some examples here real shortly of the is nots, don't think about them in is not as standing alone by themselves. But then keep this verse in mind. Godliness is not knowledge. Godliness is not self-denial. Godliness is not a form, or you could put in a culture. Godliness is not contentment. You might think I'm really getting to be a false teacher here. Godliness is not being at every church service. Don't kick me out yet. Godliness is not being a teacher or a preacher. Now you might say, you just shot everything in my life that I'm saying is I'm a godly person. Go back to that verse, but then also go with the thought of these thoughts, these words standing alone by themselves. You follow what I'm saying? If you just simply look at this alone, I got knowledge. I know books of the Bible by memory. I know the right theology to teach. I can come up here and preach, but yet I living a separate life. I can give right and good advice. I am here every time the doors are open. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that will make them godly. Stay away from these people. Now, we're not going to go and talk about the last part of that verse, okay? We're not here to talk about shunning. We're not here to talk about that. I'm looking at the first part of that verse. And that's why I started with this is not and using them just as standalone words. We can have a culture, which I'm not denying that is wrong. We're going to have some kind of culture, whether you want it or not. That just happens when you have a group of people. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have knowledge. I'm not saying that don't come to church. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying don't take on a responsibility or calling in your life as a teacher, a song leader, or a preacher, or whatever. I'm not saying that. But when you're basing your godliness on that alone and denying the power that can make you a godly person, then there's a problem. Godliness is. And this is what I believe needs to happen first in our lives, a pursuit of this in our lives. Then, out of that good, healthy soil, which I just was amazed how I didn't even look at the Sunday school lesson as far as before studying to preach for this message, but how this blends together in this service this morning. But godliness is God-likeness. Now, there again, I struggled with this word in this part, but as I processed it, if we're going to be truly God-like, there will need to be a heart transformation. So I'm not saying God-like comparing back to the is nots. God-like who he really is. So godliness is a God-likeness. It is a walking with God. It is a, what I mean by that is a relationship that is happening back and forth where he is working on the soil in my heart. And he's preparing the soil for the seeds and the fruit that needs to be coming out of that, which we had looked at before. I believe what we had looked at before can be some gauges we can go off of, but it should not be standalone testing. It should not be standalone criteria alone for godliness. Godliness is being holy. Godliness is loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. That is godliness. Godliness is growing in humility. Godliness is experiencing the renewing of your mind. And then, brothers and sisters, as that is happening in our hearts, in our lives, as we are intentional people walking with the Holy Spirit and looking at this saying, God, I am willing to become God-like. I'm willing to become renewed in my mind. I'm willing to be walking with you. I'm willing to be holy. God, I am willing to love you with all my heart, soul, and mind. I'm willing to be loving to my neighbor that might be always nitpicking about something in my life or my our neighborhood living. It might be, God, I'm willing to be growing in humility. Show me what that's like. Out of that then will flow a desire to know more who God is. A desire to get together with other believers. A desire to whatever those other things I was saying. Out of that, godliness will flow fruit in our lives. Hypocritical godliness is a blending of self and righteousness. Pride is underlying. It is so deceptive because it looks so right, but coming from the wrong source. growing out of contaminated soil of pride and self, hypocritical godliness. Living out of godliness goes back to what I said before, Matthew 23:23. It's good and right to tithe, God was telling the Jews. But, how does that verse go again? But don't neglect the most important things of mercy and faith. Here are some verses as we think about the is nots and the is. The reason I put the contentment in the other part, the is not, because it says godliness with contentment is great gain. So that means if something is missing, if you have contentment but you don't have godliness, you can look at some people who are not godly at all, and they're just very happy to live their very simple life, and they're okay. I would kind of label that more as passiveness, but they can look very content. But if they don't have godliness, it's not going to do them much. But the two together. So that's why I did what I did there. Here, another verse, Romans 12:1. I said about self-denial is not godliness, because there are people that go out there in other religions, and I mean, they do abusive things to their body to try to somehow gain approval of their God. Self-denial, they're going to all great extents. But this verse here says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. So self-denial, surrendering, a giving up of ourselves to God is godliness. So the blending the two together, but the standing alone is not. So blending it. So that's why it comes back to what I'm trying to get at here throughout this whole message is it needs to start in our hearts. And our belief system, that first, I believe God is who he says he is, and I believe I am who he says I am, and then we can walk in godliness. Micah 6:8, he has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly in my own pious thinking? No, humbly with thy God. The blending. First, a soil that is healthy, and then humility that comes out of that. 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in my own criteria. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. There are people, if you could, in other religions, you say they're holy. Oh, yeah, I am. Allah says I'm doing great. I'm doing all their books and Bible says to do. But they're not holy in the sight of God. So holiness in the fear of God is important. Mark 12, if we want to just, I don't think I have that verse here. No. But if you turn to Mark 12, I just want to read them together here. 12, 30, and 31. We know these verses by memory, but I believe it's very important to keep in mind it's our whole being. It's our whole being coming into godliness, into being godlike. It's not just simply the externals. And it says here, let's read them together, verse 30 and 31. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like unto it, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Sometimes we like to take this verse and we like to pick out the parts that we like. Yeah, I love God with all of my thoughts. I love God maybe with all my words. Or I love God with, I got the right checklist down. But this verse is saying with everything that you are needs to be in love with God first. And then we like to sometimes cut off that second verse. I love my neighbor as myself if my neighbor is easy to get along with. Or if this is my neighbor down the street, but the neighbor out on the highway might be something different. Or the neighbor I interact with at the places I go, like unloading or reloading, as long as they're workable, that I like that neighbor. But it's to love your neighbor, and that neighbor means whoever you interact with. Put on a new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. Let's keep moving here. The next part is the component for change. This is where I wanted to just dig in a little bit deeper in the thought of belief. The component for change, if we're going to change from being godless to being God, godless to being godlike, pursuing godliness, those words you can get a little bit tongue twisting there, but if we're going to change to who God wants us to be, like Himself, we need a component that is foundational. When you boil everything down, it really comes to this one component in your life, in my life. And I have been mentioned it off and on all along in this message. So as we think about change, the pursuit of godliness, leaving our old life to be godlike, what is the one component for this change to happen? Would it not be our belief system? Now, I'm not saying our belief system that is based on God's word. I'm saying our belief system that can be our own rationalizing, our own wanting it to be the way we want it to be, or our own maybe man's ideology. That would it not be that belief system to start leaving the lies of our enemy and start becoming godlike? We need to start believing the truth of our Father. At the core of our life, the core for all changes, for all change stems back to what you believe. For all change stems back to what you believe. And as I said before, you and I are doing today because of what we believe in some sort or another. So think about your decisions that you're making. Think about your the way you do life, the way you process, the way you interact. It stems back to what we believe. Mark 11, 22 and 23, I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will really happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. Now, I'm not saying to go out here and talk to one of these mountains and tell them to move. I'm bringing this verse up here because I want to take this verse and compare it to the mountain of lies that the enemy is trying to get you to believe. We all have them to some degree or another. You might think yours might be just a little hill of lies that you're believing. It might be a big mountain that you're really struggling to deal with. But this verse here, and to put this in the spiritual sense, God is saying that if you believe my truth, that is His word, and His Holy Spirit in your life, if you believe that it is foundational and that it is truth, you can go to that mountain of lies. And you can say to that mountain of lies, in the name of Jesus, you must be gone. And that mountain of lies can go. And I believe it's good to name it the mountain of lie of fear, or the mountain of lie of my reputation is more important, or the mountain of lie that I must make sure that I get this all right, or else I'm not okay. The mountain of lies that I need an addiction in my life, or the mountain of lies that whatever that may be, Another thing that I can struggle with is that I'm not going to be enough. I won't be enough as a man. Will I really have what it takes? And that can be a pretty big mountain lie in my life. But I can stand upon God's word and says that in Colossians 3 that I am complete in Christ. And if I take that truth and I just Satan in the name of Jesus, I am complete in Christ. And that lie that I am not enough needs to be gone now and be drowned in the depths of the sea. That's under the blood of Jesus. That lie must depart. That mountain will go. Not saying that you have to do it several times. Not saying that it might be a wrestle and a struggle. I'm not saying that it will be something that is just a breeze. But I'm saying that in belief in who Jesus is and the truth of his word and the belief that who you are, your identity in Christ, the pursuit of godliness can happen in our lives. It can. Remember, you might say, well, I'm not sure if I can wrap my mind around that. I'm not sure if I really need to believe anything right now. We all will believe in something. Argue with me if you want, and that's okay. But we will believe in something. There is no neutral ground. Even the prodigal son in the pig pen was wrestling with belief. What's he going to believe? That this was it for his life? Or that there is another way out? He believed for a while that the pursuit of his wealth and fun and entertainment was what he needed in his life, and he pursued it hard. He was in that pig pen for just a few, I don't know, we don't know. It's a parable. I believe that there is a problem. We will believe something. We can't stay neutral indefinitely. We all are in a battle. Even if we are going to be born again, it boils down to the fact that we need to believe that can God deal with my sinful nature. Even if we're being born again, to believe truth or lies, but the victory is then on our side. The flesh and the old nature is dead, but Satan will continue to make us think it is alive. Remember that positive always wins over negative. Light always dispels darkness. Summer always comes after winter. Jesus conquered death and will destroy Satan in a lake of fire in the end. There are some absolutes in life. Take electricity, positive and negative. Positive wins. Take light and darkness. Light always wins. You can't get more and more darkness and more and more darkness to try to get rid of light. No. In a spiritual sense or in a physical sense, when light flows in, the only way that darkness can get greater is when light pulls away. But as long as light is there, you can have greater and greater darkness, but the brighter that little pen light will shine. So what I'm trying to say is, we are all in a battle. What are we going to believe? Are we going to believe the absolute truth and find godliness in our lives? Must move on. Training in godliness. Training in godliness. 1 Timothy 4, verse 7, 8. I read this earlier, but I'll just read it again. Do not waste your time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' fables. Instead, train yourself to be godly. Physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising better benefits in this life and in the life to come. Thinking about training for godliness, there are just several things I want to pick out here. And we talked some about this a little bit, but thinking about training in godliness is remember that we were designed for and placed in community. Community is important. If we're going to live a life that is godly, community is important, whatever that looks like to you. Whether it looks like this morning, or whether it looks like a small group somewhere, whether it looks like you and a mentor in your life, whether it looks like you and a group of peers that are older than you where they are speaking in your life. But we were designed for and placed in community. We look at that example in Jesus. He had that in his life. He had community around him. He has several levels of that community in his life. And he was very passionate about that community in his life. And I believe that's something, if we're going to be training in godliness, pursuing a life of godliness, we will need to realize the importance of community. But you, dear friends, must build each other up in the most holy faith. And I believe that comes out of Jude 1, 20 to 23. I'm not sure why I didn't have that on there. But must build each other up in the most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit and await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. In this way, you will keep yourselves safe in God's love. He must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. It's talking about community interaction. Rescue others by snatching them out of the flames of judgment. Show mercy still to others, but do so with great caution, hating the sins that contaminate their lives. I brought those verses out because that verse is talking about community life. It's that interaction. It's that encouraging. It's that thing of keeping pointing others to who Jesus is. Community is a togetherness. Let me just go back here. I want to read this here. Community is a togetherness, respecting each other as an individual, yet realizing the need of accountability and being a brother's keeper. Esau was asked, Cain and Abel. Cain was asked that. He said, am I my brother's keeper? Well, God came to him saying, where is your brother? We are, in a sense, we are individuals, and we will answer to God individually. But there is an aspect that we are each other's keepers also. But this in here, being community is believing in each other. Just trying to flush this out just a little bit more. And the intent of the heart. So it's believing each other, knowing that each other's heart intent is to do right. It is. If I go to any of you men here this morning and say, hey, is your heart intent to be evil here this morning? You'll say, no, I want to do what is right. I believe I can go to probably any one of you all, and you will say, yes, your heart intent is to do right. But realizing that, but yet at the same time, being able to speak the words of life that the heart needs. Fanning that spark into a flame. Asking how one can help the other in the journey. So thinking about community, yes, I believe our hearts are intent to do right. But can we speak the words of life that the heart needs to hear? Can we take that spark that is just a glowing ember and fan it into a flame and bringing it back into where it's glowing? And may we be able to even say, hey, I care about you. How would it be life-giving for me to help you and to walk alongside of you? What would that be like? Another aspect of training in godliness is we need to focus on what is the things needing our focus? And that is Jesus and his kingdom and the will of the Father and things of eternal value. The need to focus on Jesus and his kingdom, things of eternal value, and the will of the Father while we're here on earth. We see there Matthew 6, 32 and 33. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. This does not mean that we neglect all other calling and saying, I'm only going to pursue spiritual things in my life. That's all I'm going to do. I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to get rid of my other earthly responsibilities. No, it does not mean that we neglect our other callings, but we see them through the lens of building the kingdom. So all of our other callings are looked at through the lens of, I'm here to build God's kingdom. And I believe that's how you can seek first the kingdom of God. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I believe it means that all things become second to Jesus in our lives. A debunking of the fortress of lies is, I believe, in debunking, that means we cut off the lies. In Colossians 3, forget what verse it is, that there is a spiritual circumcision that happens in our life, and we become identified with Christ. Our choice, we can look at ourselves as, I'm just simply a sinner that's saved, or I'm a saint. I was a sinner, but I'm now a saint. That is debunking the fortresses of lies. Debunking the fortresses of lies, okay, there's the 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. It brings out our identity in Christ. I am a saint. I'm a peculiar people. We weren't a people in the past, but I am now living in the light. In debunking the fortresses of lies to become pursue godliness, we battle as a kingdom warrior with kingdom weaponry and in kingdom manner. This all could go on and on, but I am getting running late here and don't want you all to be falling asleep. But I believe it's very important to pursue godliness, that we are battle as a kingdom soldier, a kingdom warrior. And that verse there in 2 Corinthians 10, 3, 4, and 5 just gives a picture of what that looks like in battling as a kingdom warrior with his weaponry and in his way. And I believe that so often we want to do battle in our way, in our fashion. But there is a greater power and a greater result and a greater blessing when we can war, be a kingdom warrior with his weaponry and in his manner. In closing, in the end of life, we want to be like him, found in him. So it starts now with intentional thought and a belief in the love of Jesus. It takes intentionality in saying, I will pursue godliness. And I believe it with the realization that he wants to present us complete and whole, body, soul, and spirit. But I believe this verse here, let's read this verse together in closing, these verses, 1 John 3, let's read them together. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. The wherefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So I bless you all this morning. As you pursue godliness, pursue it with all your heart, with open hands and open arms, saying, God, I want to believe what is truth, because I want to be like you in the end.